If you're here this morning and you're here for the first time, I want to welcome you to EC Grace. We're glad you're here. We're happy you're here. And we are in a series called the Blessed Life Series. This series is a series based on the Sermon on the Mount. And it started with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are those. And Jesus starts differentiating between those who thought they were in the kingdom of heaven and those who actually have the qualities of being in the kingdom of heaven. And so we're going through this Blessed Life series with the hopes of seeing what God wants to say to us, what Jesus wants to show us, so that we can live the blessed life that he's called us to. Who here has that as their pursuit? Amen? Well, last week we saw Jesus was condemning the Pharisees for their spiritual theatrics, their hypocrisy in the areas of giving, praying, and fasting. And Jesus chose those three things because we believe that those were three areas that they were manifesting their worship in public to the Lord. We looked at motive in worship. God's light that should shine from our hearts, or limelight. Hey, give me the limelight, right? We looked at the difference there. So they publicized their piety for the reasons to be seen. They wanted to be honored and they wanted to be admired by men with very little care about being honored by God. So today we're going to start, you're going to say what, Pastor? We're going to start a mini-series within a mini-series. We're going to take a little mini-series within the Blessed Life series called Communicating Words of Quality, Part 1 of 4. We're going to be looking at this prayer that the Lord gave us in four parts. And it was in this very area of prayer, its abuse and correction, that Jesus gave most of his attention here, and out of which came the famous and popular, what we know as what? The Lord's Prayer, which we're going to look at today and the next 3 weeks. Prayer is very important. Prayer is very powerful. Prayer teaches us many things. Matthew 6, 7 through 13, these are the words of the Lord. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is where we're going to be today and the next 3 weeks. So much in these few words, so much to contemplate, so much to learn, so much to apply to our lives. But you will notice that this model prayer is divided into two parts. The first part is directed to God and his glory. You, you, you. The second part is about man and his needs. Us, 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 and us. So this morning we're only going to look at the first half of this model prayer. We're going to look at God and his glory, with the hope that we might pray in a way that is pleasing to God, that is powerful to God, that is effectual. Is that the type of prayer we want? Lord, I pray this morning that you have all glory. We do say, hallowed be your name. Lord, how can we express in words who you are? How can we express in words all that you deserve? But Lord, we want to hallow your name. We want to exalt your name. We want to praise your name and glorify your name. Lord, we ask that you will transform our hearts and our minds, that we will see clearly the wonderful privilege that we have to approach you, come right into your throne room. But Lord, as we do, let us recognize who you are. Lord, we give you glory and praise, and it is in your name, Jesus Christ, that we pray all things. Amen. So first here, we're going to see that Jesus tells us how not to pray. Hey, let me just start by telling you how not to do it, he says. I want to tell you how not to pray. Do not pray like the Gentiles, he says. How did they pray? Their prayers consisted of meaningless repetition, he says. The NIV says babbling. Babbling, 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 meaningless repetition, or many words in verse 7. We can go all the way back to 1 Kings and see some of this. In 1 Kings 18:26, you may recall when they were worshiping Baal, the pagan priests of Baal, from the Bible says, from morning until noon, and then from noon until evening, they cried out with loud voices, repeating over and over and over, "Oh, Baal, answer us! Oh, Baal, answer us! Oh, Baal, answer us!" How'd that work for them? Not at all. "Oh, Baal, answer us!" Repeating, repeating, repeating. In Acts 19, 28 and 34, the pagan worshipers of Artemis, also known as Diana, kept repeating and shouting, it says, for over 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Can you imagine doing that for 2 hours? Why? Matthew 6, because what Jesus says, they suppose that they will be heard for or because of their many words. Well, if Artemis isn't hearing me, I'll just repeat these things like a million times. "Hear me, Artemis, hear me, Artemis. Oh, Baal, hear me, do you hear me?" So while the hypocritical Pharisees prayed to be seen, here's the difference. The unbelieving Gentiles prayed to be heard. One prays to be seen by men. The other is praying to be heard. To the Gentiles, why? The gods were far away. They were distant. So they prayed long and loud prayers in order that they might be heard. Imagine being down in the canyon, people far away, no one around. "Hello, hello," just hoping you could be heard. Their gods were distant gods to them. But that's not the case with true believers, is it? No. Why? We know God. That's a big deal, to know God. He is not some distant deity. He's our Father. Our Father who is in heaven. Imagine that statement. Our Father who is in heaven. So Jesus said what? So do not be like them. Do not be like that. Do not be like them in their pagan thinking and their long prayers and many words where they are the key to influencing God, who is your Father, to hear and answer your prayers. God is our Father. He hears us and answers our prayers, because Jesus goes on to say, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Or you can say, for because your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. How many of you find that to be comforting? I find that to be truly comforting in my life. You see, the problem is this with me. I don't always know what I need. But my Father knows what I need before I even ask. So when I'm a little off base, or when I'm screwing up what I need, God knows. Comforting. For your Father already knows. We will see more of this later in the chapter where Jesus says again, your heavenly Father knows what you need. Verse 32. He knows every last thing about you and knows every need you have. That's a worry eraser. You want to get a worry eraser, just remind yourselves of the truths in God's Word. And even in the most difficult or the more simplistic times in our lives. But here's the point here in the context. When we pray, we don't have to pile up many words. We don't have to pray long prayers as if we are trying to persuade a reluctant and distant God to hear us and take heed of our needs. You with me? We're not praying to give God information about our situation. God, let me give you some info about my situation. He already knows it. Like a father knows the needs of his children in his home, and he only wants the best for his children. You fathers know what I'm talking about. You someday fathers will know what I'm talking about. If you're not a father, you don't truly get what an earthly father feels for his children. But you have an understanding. One day you will. A father wants the very best for his young ones. Let's not misunderstand, though, what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not condemning us or forbidding us to have long times of prayer or even long prayers. That's not his point. Otherwise, he would have lived completely contradicting to what he just said. Jesus himself often prayed all night long, the Bible says. Nor is he forbidding the repeating of the same request in prayer. Jesus himself in Matthew 26:44 in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he died, he prayed, it said, a third time, saying the same thing once more. Literally, the same word. So the third time Jesus is repeating himself to the Father in the same prayer. Again, he did. So it doesn't matter how long or short your prayers are. The circumstances of your life will determine that. But rather, what is the state of your heart when you pray? Circumstances will determine length, shortness, whatever. But what is your heart when you pray? It is what is said when you pray and why you say it that is important. So hear me on this. It's not the length of our prayers to God, but rather it is the love in our prayers to God that reaches God's heart. It is not the quantity of words in our prayer, but rather the quality of these words, whether many or whether few, that opens his mighty hand to bless. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. It's not about length. It's about love. Therefore, communicating words of quality. Quality is the degree of excellence of something. Quality is worth, is value. It's about what comes out of our heart. Is it worth? Does it have value? Is it of excellence in its intention? How many of you know it's all too easy to fall into prayer rituals? To say in prayers using the same formulas over and over and over again, which require very little thinking, as if the prayer itself will do the job. Right? We can all get caught up into that trap. This can happen at bedtime. It can happen at dinner. Repetitive rituals. It can happen at prayer meetings. Personal devotion and prayer time. I said my prayers. Have you ever heard anybody say to you? As if that was what was needed. I said my prayers. But the real question that God's looking at is, was there a heart and a mind connection with God, with your Father in them? That's the key. And Jesus says, don't be like them. Unbelieving Gentiles and these hypocritical Pharisees whose minds are out of gear with me, whose hearts are wrong while their mouths go on. So after telling us how not to pray, Jesus now tells us how to pray. Pray then this way. But before we look at what Jesus said, let's clarify something about this prayer in general. This prayer is called what? The Lord's Prayer. Right? Actually, it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's not. We know it. We know it is not his prayer that he prays. It's ours from him. Think about this for a minute. It's the prayer that he has given us. It's the prayer that he gave his disciples to pray. Yes, he prayed aspects of this prayer. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus, who was sinless would never have prayed, Father, forgive me of my sins, as I forgive others who sin against me. This is the Almighty Son of God, the righteous one, the sinless one. He didn't pray that. A year and a half later, when Jesus was in the very last 6 months of his life, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray in Luke 11. And Jesus repeated substantially, but not exactly the same prayers here in Matthew. So he's not giving you a word by word, do this, repeat this. Certainly, though, it's not wrong to pray this prayer. It's not wrong to pray it verbatim. If your heart is right and you understand what you're praying, right? It's the heart, though, my friends, that teaches us to say, Lord, teach me to pray. I'm 51 and I have not mastered prayer. Do you think God still has more to teach me in prayer? Of course he does. Jesus is simply giving us a pattern of principles that should characterize our praying. So let's look now at what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 9 through 10. Pray then this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we could pray that prayer, mean every word about it, and accomplish it, we would transform the world. Think about this for a moment. So often when we pray, we often begin by barging into the throne room of God with the list of things on our heart that we want God to do for us. We walk in with our big sign, 1 through 100, and say, me, us, me. How many have ever got fallen into that trap? Of course. But here in our Lord's pattern for prayer, Jesus says, don't begin with what you want done. Start by beginning with what I want done. Don't start with you. Start with me. There's a commercial, Microsoft, I believe. Is it Microsoft? Maybe. I don't know. On TV. And I don't even know what they're selling. I don't think. So I'm not going to say who it is. But I remember this tagline. Put the focus where it belongs. On you. Hey, that's... If you're gonna market to people, you're getting right to the point. When you pray, Jesus said, first put the focus where it belongs, on God. On His person, hallowed be your name. On His program, your kingdom come. On His will, your will be done. So let's look at these quickly. Pray, Lord, we want to honor you above all. May we praise you now as we look at how you taught us to pray, Lord. I want to praise you. I want to honor you. I want to put you above all in my life. And Jesus says, let's do that. He says, hallowed be your name. This word hallowed is holy, consecrated, greatly revered, greatly honored. It's esteemed above all else. When we come to God, He is esteemed above all others. Though it is precious that God is our Father, amen, He is still the awesome, almighty God whose name is to be hallowed. He is our Father God. So as God, He is high above me. As Father, He is near to me. What a relationship. This name, hallowed be thy name. This is not a reference to the title of God. This is a reference to God Himself. His person, His character, His attributes. It's as Psalm 9:10 says. Oh, brother, thank you. Man, thank you. It's as Psalm 9:10 says, all who know your name will put their trust in you. Wow, huh? All who know your name will put their trust in you. So God Himself and only God is to be hallowed. This is set apart, reverenced, and regarded as the infinite, holy, awesome God that He is. Sometimes we often lose sight of this about God, and we treat Him far less than He deserves. The great and fundamental sin, my friends, of mankind that spawns every other sin in the world is that though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God. Romans 1:21. How do we honor our Father, especially when we come into His presence in prayer? So as God, to whom all fear, worship, and allegiance belong, hallowed be Your name. All fear, all worship, all allegiance belongs to Him. And as His child, when we see what He's done for us, when we know Him personally, how can we not hallow His name? Jesus said this of His life. Of Jesus' entire life on this earth, as He prayed to God, He said in John 17:4, I glorified You on earth. I glorified You. I glorified You. So when we go to God in prayer, our heart attitude should be that of our Father, God, as magnified, not me. We must magnify God above all things. And our heart's desire should be that His holy name not only be hallowed in my life, but that everyone, everywhere, give to Him the worship, give to Him the glory, give to Him the honor that He deserves and demands. That should be our hope. That should be our desire. That God would be esteemed in all of the world. It should break our hearts to see God's name so disdained in the world. So dishonored. You know, commentators have mentioned that the Lord's Prayer is incomplete. How can a commentator say that? God gave it. It's not incomplete. Think before you talk. Think before you speak. You may ask the question, wonder why that's not there, but it's not incomplete. God gave it. Why? Because there's no mention of thanksgiving. There's no mention of thanksgiving in this prayer. But I'm here to submit to you that God knows if you pray this prayer with this type of heart, your heart and in your prayers, hallowing God's name, thanksgiving will flow from you like a fountain. It'll flow right out of you. You won't be able to help yourself. You'll be, thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. You know, in Revelation 11:17, the elders seeing this prayer taking place. What happened? What happened there? His kingdom was coming. They were looking for it. His will was being done. And they hallowed His name by seeing the mighty works of God. And they fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give You thanks, O Lord God the Almighty. We give You thanks, O Lord God the Almighty. I mean, they're sitting there and they're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. One day we will be in glory. How will you speak to Him then? Will you hallow His name then? Will you magnify His name then? Will we see Him in all His glory? We will be not only compelled, we will not be able to help ourselves but to fall on our face. Think of that for a moment. Wow. I mean, our Father God, who is He? He is the giver and taker of life. He is the maker and the ruler of the world. He's the Savior and lover of my soul, the helper and keeper of my way. He is my provider. He's my protector, my hope, and my anchor. He's my friend, and He's my Father. So I can only say thanks be to Him. Hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed be His name in my heart and on my lips. May His name be magnified. When you have a will, understanding, and remember by the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, and you see God for what He's done for you, you will not be able but to just thank Him. Praise Him in gratitude. Amen. Praise the Lord. So then He goes on and says, Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. We have already looked at what His kingdom is in previous messages. But briefly, that is that time to come when all the anarchy, when all the rebellion displayed against God, the Creator of man Himself, and Jesus, the Savior of man, will come to an end. Yeah. the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He will come here. He will set up his kingdom on this earth, and he will rule in total sovereignty over all the world. All sovereignty. Hallelujah. Revelation 11:15 will take place at the seventh trumpet. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Imagine hearing that. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we mean something by it. We are praying that God's program for this world be realized, that it will come into effect, and that we are looking forward to the climax of all of history. We are praying for the permanent sovereign reign of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And we are therefore praying in agreement with God. We're praying in agreement with God's plan for all the ages. We're saying, "Lord, you have the right to reign. You have the right to rule over all men. And all men, I pray, Lord, to recognize your sovereignty and bow before your rule." We're praying, "Lord, I want your dominion, your kingdom, your rule to be realized and recognized by all men in the world. Your kingdom come." You know, as we pray this, our hearts will take comfort in the fact that a new and better age is coming. Praise God. That no matter how bad it may seem for us, no matter how bad the world may get, no matter what may come upon us, it's not going to last. But God is, and his kingdom is, and we're part of it. And though it may at times look dark now, as you look out over the city, as you look out over the world, brighter days are coming, praise the Lord. Lord, your kingdom come. What do you see in this temporal world? The trials, the hardships, the sorrows, the bitterness, the anger, the sin, the immorality, the diseases, death. Are we so blinded by this temporary life we only see what is happening before us? Or do you have an eternal perspective that brings clarity in your vision as you look with spiritual vision to the coming kingdom of God? How do you walk in your life in this eternal perspective? Can we sincerely pray quality words that his kingdom come? The answer is no, unless we are seeking his kingdom first in our lives. You will never pray this prayer unless that is what you seek. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." So blessed are those kingdom citizens that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that thirst for his kingdom. Truly the blessed life pursuit worthy of our calling. So just as God has a plan and program for the world, guess what? He has one for your life. Praise God. He has one for our lives in him. A plan that if we follow it, we will realize the blessed life. Your will be done, as we start closing here today. He says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is just the extension of your kingdom come. In fact, in Luke 11:2, Jesus omits these words, "Your will be done." The coming kingdom, my friends, is not just about territory when his kingdom will come and cover the world, but it is about his sovereignty in every life where his will is finally being done. It's not just about territory, it's about sovereignty in your life. You with me? So when our hearts, as sometimes they are, aren't right before God, when they're not following his word, obeying his word, wanting his will, the last thing, the last desire we're really going to say is, "Thy will be done." So often we want God's will if it matches up to our will. When I go to God in prayer, do I not oftentimes pray what I want, what I hope for. And then sometimes, just sometimes, so we look spiritual enough, we will throw in right at the end the disclaimer, if it be your will. But that should be our heart. That should be our deepest desire. When our hearts aren't right before God, we won't do that. You see, here's what Satan wants you to believe. That when you submit to God's will, it's a death sentence. It's not a death sentence to your freedom. It is the doorway to God's blessing. That is the truth. God's will for your life is the very doorway of His blessing in your life. Jesus says to pray that God's will might be done, where? On earth, as in heaven. As in heaven. He gives us a great example of what type of will that is. You see, in heaven, there's only one will being done. God's. Only God's will. Do you know all the angelic hosts gladly, quickly yield to His commands? They yield to His wishes. They yield to everything He says. This is what Psalm 103, 20 through 21 tells. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Do His bidding. Obey His word. Do His will. And in doing so, His will, there is harmony and blessing in heaven above. We will be there one day. Praise God. But in all of the universe, there is one pocket of rebellion, aside from Satan and his fallen angels. What is that pocket? Mankind on earth. Us. All the miseries, the sufferings, the tears, the regrets in our lives, in our homes, the crumbling marriages, all these things we've been talking about, the immorality, all what's going on in our communities, come right from man's refusal. Don't kid yourself. It's this simple. It is man's refusal to obey God. They will have all kinds of reasons why. They will have all kinds of excuses. We do. But when you boil it all down, it's man's refusal to just say, Lord, I want to obey You. I want to submit to You. Wow. Think about that. Here is a very prayer that can pray down heaven on earth. Wow. Would it not be heaven on earth if everyone like the angels performed His word? Would it not be heaven on earth if everyone obeyed His voice, served Him in doing His will? And not what our sin natures drive us to do? Would we not have a taste of heaven in our lives? Would we not have a taste of heaven in our marriages? If we would only submit to doing God's will, what He wanted and not wanted. And I'm telling you, you cannot pray a prayer that God's told us to pray with the right heart, that the Lord won't come and give you the power to accomplish that. So in conclusion, you know, we're not going to have a heart or genuine passion to pray this way if it is not our heart before we pray. The Lord looks at the quality of our words by looking at our hearts, right? Can we sincerely pray, hallowed be Your name, when our hearts aren't melted by His majesty? Can we really pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, when we're not allowing Him to reign and rule in our own lives? The answer is not really. But I know through God's word, in my life and in yours, when we are willing to take the steps in our life, no matter how small, to let God, to let our lives magnify the Lord, when we seek to do His will, and our prayers will take on a new, powerful, new essence in how we pray. Our lives will see His blessings. You know, in our Tetelestai series, we saw that in the first garden, we heard Adam. What did we hear? Not Your will, Lord, but My will. That was Adam in the garden. And that changed paradise into a desert for all mankind. But we can all sit here with a smile on our face and praise the Lord that there came a second Adam and a second garden under terrible duress with blood flowing down his face. We prayed, not my will, but thine be done. That takes who believes in him from Gethsemane to glory because he submitted to the will of the Father. Not like the first Adam who said, my will over yours. Praise God for that. Praise God for our salvation. Praise God Almighty. Praise the Son, Jesus Christ, that He is the perfect model for us of the prayer He has given us. For because of His perfect completion of the will of God, we have this mighty, beautiful, wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that? So as the psalmist says, Psalm 34:3, look at this in your life. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. Is that what we want? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. Lord, I just pray that we will magnify Your name. That we will exalt Your name together. Lord, that we will have a heart that so seeks You, so desires You, as we love You and love people, as we are Your lights in the world. The Lord, our heart's desire will be to magnify You, where we say, hallowed be Your name. That we exalt You above all. And Lord, we thank You that You are our Father God, but You are still near to us. Lord, let Your will be done in heaven and on earth. We want Your will in our lives. Help us to pursue You, to love You. Lord, give our prayers the quality words You're looking for, the quality words You desire, that our hearts mean what we say. For You know already what we need. Lord, let us come before You and praise You. In Your name we pray. Amen.